Yeah, welcome in. Week 9 of high school football. We're loving it. Welcome into the Game Blitz, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. I am Big Joe. Elijah Campbell's along. Big Kenny behind the glass producing this amazing show. It's hard to believe we're in week 9 of high school football, and a lot of schools are still in fall break, so there's a lot of games that are off tonight. But we got, don't worry, we got you loaded. We got great guests, great people, and we still got some big football games that are happening tonight all across Middle Tennessee. Some big games inside the region as well. So when you think that high school football is taking a break, you are absolutely incorrect. Let's bring in my good man, Elijah Campbell. Elijah, my man, how are you?
Joe, I am doing fantastic. You know, I was astonished, obviously, the amount of off-week games that we have or teams that are on bye. But, I mean, we still have some gems. I got about 6 games here that I have written down that I've got my eye on because – they're not just big region implications for region title games, but there are a couple of games that might determine if a team is going to the playoffs or not. So there's still some heavy stakes to a lot of these games. And you're right. It feels weird that we're already in week 9. Right. There are some teams in the entire state that have played 9 games already. I was updating my standing sheet, and there's a couple teams in East Tennessee that have already played 9 games because they played last night. And when I kind of did the math there, I'm like, oh, this team's, 2-7. Wait a minute. That's 9 games. They only have one more left and the season's over. Trousdale County had their senior night last night, Joe. It's weird. It's flown by.
We need to have one of those here, too, if you don't mind. All right, Elijah, let me get your thoughts on some of the big games that are happening tonight.
That's where bingo is.
Right? That are happening tonight. And I was on early this morning with Chase, Derek, and Willie and talking about big games. And I see, what I love about this show with you and Kenny is the fact that we just don't hit schools inside the Nashville area. Like, a big game tonight is East Robertson at Westmoreland. Big tilt in 4-2A. Both teams undefeated in region. I mean, that's a game tonight. If we were all together with the night off, I would take the 3 of us. We'd head up to Westmoreland to watch that game. That is a huge game tonight.
See, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that one because that's what I have number 1 on my list. The game of the week is Beach Gallatin, but that's the number 1 I have on my list. That's basically a region championship game. And for there are 2 schools that, Joe, have to play in a region with Watertown and Trousdale County that are historical powers, okay? And Trousdale County got their first one of the season last night. They're obviously down. Watertown's going to make the playoffs, but they're going to do it as like the 3 or 4 seed out of that region. But this is the year where it's up for grabs, and it's a huge game for Westmoreland games at Westmoreland. Now, the best part of that game, Joe, is if we go to that game, we don't have any distractions with our cell phones because there is no cell phone reception. That is where reception goes to die. So you're kind of off in your own version of Neverland, okay, which is fantastic. You get to go. You're away from the rest of the outside world, and it's 2 really good high school football teams duking it out for a region title, and it's something that neither of these schools have really get to experience a lot. East Robertson 6-1, Westmoreland 5-2. Like you said, they're both undefeated in the region. Watertown is currently in 3rd after last night. They're 2-2 in the region, so they have no chance at dethroning you of these teams. Westmoreland, if they win, they have to finish the season against Harpeth. Harpeth is 5-3, 2-2, so they'd still have to win that game. But if East Robertson wins, to seal the region, they have to play Whites Creek. Whites Creek is 0-4 in the region. I like their chances in that game. So it's like a de facto region championship game because I still would expect Westmoreland to beat Harpeth because Westmoreland is really, really good, a really underrated story this year. But I'm glad you mentioned that one, Joe. That was the one that I think I'm probably personally the most excited about.
Love it. Also, Westmoreland in the region has not given up a single point. I mean, so it's not like this team just getting lucky. I mean, it's a good football team. All right, you mentioned another game tonight. I mean, obviously the top game tonight, if we were out hanging out, we'd go to the East Robertson Westmoreland. But another game, and that's where our Junie Riddle is our Game Blitz reporter, Beach at Gallatin. And I got to tell you something. Every year I've covered this game and I worked in TV, Elijah, huge crowd, fun time, a lot of emotion. This is a huge football game tonight. And what I think is one of the best atmospheres in all of high school football in Middle Tennessee up at Gallatin.
Yeah, a fantastic. I have not yet to experience that myself personally. I really need to because people rave about it. It is Gallatin football is a staple of Middle Tennessee high school football tradition. They've been good for a long time. They're mainstays, and they're playing a team tonight that is clearly, I think, the best team in Region 5-6A. Beach is really good. They're battle-tested. Their only loss this year came in the opener against Farragut. Farragut is a really good football team.
Right.
Beach is on a roll. You win 6 straight. You haven't lost in the region. And this is going to be the biggest test that Beach has in the region left to play, because there's not many games left after tonight. These teams only have two remaining. So this is a big one. And I mean, I'm not going to put it past Gallatin to be able to pull off a shocker tonight. We've talked to Coach Watson a lot this year already. I love how he's like, he is an old football soul, right? Like the game is won in the trenches. I love talking to him about how these games are won in the trenches, almost kind of like World War One. It's in the trenches, baby. And that's how you're going to be able to pull off upsets. So if they're able to be able to kind of, I guess, in a weird way, Iowa this game, where you limit possessions, you manage the clock, you bully them in the trenches,
right?
You can win this Big Ten type game and be able to pull off an upset, which would be significant because, A, it's Beach's first loss, and Gallatin only has one region loss as well. That would tie them with Beach. And guess who would have the tiebreaker? Gallatin.
Ooh.
Pretty significant game over there tonight.
Also, another game in the region, Oakland at Riverdale. You know, Riverdale's 1-2 in the region play. Oakland is still unbeaten. Oakland is still Oakland. But, Elijah, what I'm interested in tonight about Oakland is the fact they lost to CPA. Lost pretty bad to CPA. Mm-hmm. It was 35-7, but they ended up scoring to the end. So it's 35-14. They've had a week off. We know Kevin Creasy. I guarantee he slept hardly zero this past week. I think, and I like Coach Kreisky at Riverdale. It's a great program. I love the coaches there. I think Oakland comes out. This is the Battle of the Borough. It's always been the Battle of the Borough. They could have 1,000 high schools moving to Murfreesboro. It's still going to be Oakland. Riverdale is the Battle of the Borough. I just think this could be a long, long night for Riverdale, because I think Oakland wants to show everybody that they haven't gone anywhere, and that last week was just, it happened. They lost. They're moving on. But this is still going to be a fun football game.
Oh, it's going to be a really fun football game, Joe. And Riverdale is not the same as they were last year. Like last year, they were a dominant team. They lost 31 seniors coming into this year. But as the season's gone along, they've gotten a lot better. They're 4-3 right now, 1-2 in an insanely tough region. I don't think they have enough to be able to compete with Oakland. But if Oakland's quarterback, Cade Hewitt, is unavailable, obviously he was nursing an injury last week. I was told that he might have, may or may not have been in a sling this week. And probably precautionary, but his status is going to be a significant part of this. Cade Hewitt's played a lot of Oakland High School football. He's pretty significant to that offense, that wing T offense that is all about execution, execution, execution. And he runs that really well. If he's not able to play tonight, then maybe Riverdale's got a chance. I mean, Riverdale still has some athletes of their own, even though they haven't been full season experience, which at the beginning of the year is kind of a big obstacle, but this group now is 7 games in. You have the number one high school football player in the state by some regards, and Caleb Herring,
yep,
be playing at Tennessee next season. He's a phenomenal athlete. And if you're playing with a backup quarterback, there might be a little bit of a matchup advantage for Riverdale, where there's an avenue to winning this game. So it can get interesting. It's just Oakland's only lost like what, once since the Cold War? So maybe that I don't like their chances of losing two straight.
Yeah, I'm with you. Also, let's stick in that Class 6A Region 4, because there's a big game tonight between Blackman and Rockville. Rockville having a really good season, Blackman as well. If Rockville wins that game, they're 3-1 in the region. They play Oakland to finish out the season. Then it's a winner-take-all, Rockville and Oakland, which I never thought I'd be saying this 2 years ago. So there's still, I mean, even though there's not many games tonight, I like the quality over the quantity. Does that make sense? I like what we've got tonight. And that Blackman Rockville game is another game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you. I would never have been, would guess, I would have said at the end of this year that Rockville has a chance to be hosting a playoff game, given that they're having to play in the gauntlet known as Region 4-6A. You got that one tonight because it's significant with the 2-3 seeds in that region. A couple other ones I want to shout out before we get to this break, Joe, too. I mean, DeKalb County and Upperman, those are 2 1-loss teams in a competitive 4A region. This game is basically a region championship eliminator. One of these teams will not be able to win the region title because there's, I believe, 4 teams at 1 loss in that region: Macon County, Upperman, DeKalb, and Stone, all 1 loss. 2 of those 1-loss teams are playing tonight. It's an eliminator game. That one's at Upperman. We have Noah McKay at that game. And got to shout out our man Stan Harrison from Apple Collision Centers. His beloved Lincoln County Falcons have a chance to make the playoffs, Joe. And if they beat Columbia tonight at home, they can almost all but secure a 4 seed in that really competitive region. Now, Columbia has lost several games in the region, but they've had a very front-loaded schedule, right? They've had to play Page. They've had to play Nolensville already.
Right.
So they kind of got those out of the way, so to speak. But if they're able to win tonight, 3A rather, I think it's at 4A. But if they're able to win tonight, Lincoln County, they can basically secure a playoff spot, which is something we didn't think was possible coming into the year, because they've had a rough going.
They're 1-6. They've won one game, and that one game, as we've talked all the time, that game, as long as you win your region games, you're fantastic.
If you win your region games, you are in good shape.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so right now, yeah, they are at 1-2 in the region. Columbia's 0-3. Spring Hill's 0-3. And I think Lincoln County's one win came against Spring Hill, if I'm not mistaken. I think Franklin County's pretty secure in that third spot. But if they win tonight, that puts them two games ahead of Columbia in the standings with two games remaining with a tiebreaker. So, yeah, all but secures that the Lincoln County Falcons, Stan Harrison's alma mater, is going to be going.
Hey, let me ask you this before you talk. You just talk about getting into the second season, the playoffs. You're a big college basketball fan. What was the team the first year they did the play-in four games? And what team was that won the play-in games and went to the Final Four? What team was that?
Yes, sir. That was the Virginia Commonwealth University Rams, coached by Shaka Smart. They went from the first four to the final four in the first year that the first four was implemented. And it goes to show, too, that if you have a team that's in there that's playing their best basketball, or in this case, football at the right moment, they can be able to make some magic happen. Now, the team they beat in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four, Joe, was number one seed Kansas. They were the number one overall seed in the tournament that year. They had three NBA players in the starting lineup, that Kansas team did. VCU, spoiler alert, had none. VCU won by double digits. So in a one-game elimination scenario, if you have a good matchup, you can make some magic happen. And I love that you use that example, Joe, because not only because I'm a big college basketball guy, but VCU was a team that they're kind of dismissed. The only reason they got into this tournament is because there was expansion. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And they ended up going to the Final Four. The story of the entire sport that year. I mean, you can maybe see something like that now. If the season ended today, Lincoln County is your four seed. They would have to play at Mount Juliet in the playoffs.
But they're in.
6-2, but they're in. And it's all you need to be is in. So
that could happen.
They could do it tonight with a win against Columbia.
You are my rain man on the show, Elijah. Thank you for that. All right, we have a fun first hour for you. Come up at 6:45. We'll talk to East Head football coach Jamal Stewart. He's actually on vacation. He's at a wedding. He's going to step aside the wedding to join us tonight. And I said, Coach, you don't have to do that. He's like, anytime you guys call and talk about my program, I want to come on. I was like, all right, Coach. 6:30, Junior Reynolds is going to join us, talk about the Beach Galaxy game tonight. And up next, a dear friend of mine who covered high school football in this town for many years. We all love him and know him. Rudy Kalis from Channel 4 is going to join us. We're going to take a walk down memory lane with Rudy here in just a little bit. We got a fun night for you. We're here till midnight. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center and our dear friends at National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back in here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. It's an honor to have our next guest on. He's a mentor. He's a great man. He covered high school football and sports in this town for many years. He's a legend. Let's welcome to the show, Rudy Kalis. Rudy, how are you, sir?
You crack me up whenever you say that kind of stuff. You're nice. Joel, great to be with you, and I'm so glad you're back doing some sports like this.
I love, you know, it's funny, Rudy, you've been off the helicopter now 4 or 5 years, and everywhere I go to a high school football game and even college football games, I get asked about you in the helicopter and dropping in at games. I mean, did you know when you were doing all that how just impactful that was, Rudy?
After a while, we did. I think we did it for 17 years, Joe, and it was such a thrill. You know, you go to these areas outside of Nashville, 80, 90, maybe 100 miles away, who never get much publicity. And we would call them in the beginning, somewhere about Tuesday in the week, tell them we're headed that way. It was a big deal for them. So, I love it. I think it's the one thing I miss the most out of what I did, because especially with this weather. This weather's been so great this fall that we wouldn't have to worry anything about stormy weather and such. We just fly and go and have a great time.
It was beautiful. Let me ask you this, Rudy. You covered high school football here for so many years. What is it, you know, I love asking people, even professional athletes, announcers, people like you, what is it about high school football that just resonates with so many people?
It's a lot of different things. One of it, they wear their emotions on their sleeves. If a good plays, man, they're all pumped up. If somebody does bad, then they're all screaming and down and everything. And then you got the rail birds, the moms that or the dads usually that hang along. Come on, kid, you can do this. You go to a small community, and the town is shut down because they are all at the football game. So it's all of that put together. Mainly, though, I think it's that that they work so hard and they put their emotions out there. You can just feel it. It's so important to these kids. And I don't know how many of them realize, you know, 95% of them will never play beyond high school. It's the greatest memories they'll ever have. They'll never forget it.
I totally agree. Rudy, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Elijah Campbell. I've told him all about you, how great you are. Elijah, meet Rudy. Rudy, meet Elijah.
Rudy, it's hey, an Elijah. Honor.
How are you, my friend? Good to talk to you. That's a great name. That's a strong name right there. I like it.
Oh, thank you. Very biblical. My parents gave it to me. Appreciate that. But yeah, it's, Rudy, it's an honor to talk to you. Kenny was pumped to be able to get you on, so it's real special to have you on right now. And one of the reasons for that is because you've seen a lot of high school football here in Tennessee where it's it feels more special here than almost anywhere else. But Joe and I were talking about it in the last segment. We're talking about a school like Lincoln County that a win tonight gets them in the playoffs, and that's something that we wouldn't have thought of coming into this year. They've really struggled, and if you just get into the playoffs, you know, magic can happen. But do you have any memories in the state of a team that maybe just squeaked into the playoffs and kind of surprised people because they were able to just make some magic happen?
Well, the funny thing about Lincoln County was back in the 70s, 80s, they were studs. They were just huge. They were big. They were beat people and a lot of different people. So you go through those highs and those lows. Joe talked about our flying. I mean, we would do stuff like we flew to Red Boiling Springs when they probably lost 75 games in a row just to give them pumped to go up there. And they were so pumped. I think they wound up winning the game that we were at. So it can be anything that can happen. These kids on one single night. A lot of times in football, you've got one great athlete. He may not be a natural quarterback, but he's the best athlete on the team, and they put him at quarterback, and he can win a game almost by himself because they can't touch him. So you never know who's going to step up and do something, and that's the beauty of what you guys are doing.
Oh, Rudy, when you said you flew everywhere for games, I believed you. But then when you said you went to Red Boiling Springs, I really believed you. Now there's probably not a county in Tennessee you haven't seen a high school football game. That's pretty remarkable, but those kind of places, like you said, like Red Boiling Springs, that are really unique that a lot of people maybe just don't know about because in our listening area, you know, it's in Nashville. But what are some of, the phenomenal atmospheres that you've gotten to experience that are a lot smaller areas?
You know, I remember Red Boiling Springs. We called them and said, we're going to come flying up. They said, what? And here you got to realize when you fly, usually until it gets later in the season like this, it's light when you're on the way there, which is great, especially fall. We would fly treetops and buzz over guys that were in fishing boats on Percy Priest Lake. We'd have a great time just buzzing up there to fly. Red Boiling Springs, I mean, you got to pump sunlight back in. That's way back in the woods. And I remember we landed and some old boy with overalls poked me in the chest and said, boy, this is the biggest thing since Flatten Scruggs at a concert here. We're just glad you're here. You know? So you get that kind of stuff. We would always look for that. I remember one night we flew to some school way out in the woods, and this lady came running up to the helicopter. We had land. Whoa, stay back, came running up. And I think she partied a little before the game started because she put a big hug around me and said, oh, I've watched you all my life, Cootie Rayless.
Did you correct her or no?
No, heck no, I said. Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Rudy Kalis, longtime sportscaster in Nashville. Rudy, you know, what makes high school football really great? There's a lot of good men that are coaching these kids. You know, we go back in the day, like Calvin Short at Gallatin, Tommy Owen at NBA, yeah. Wes Elrod at McGavick. I mean, there were some really great, strong leaders back in the day who are still iconic today. And to me, that's another part of high school football. And you got to know a lot of these coaches as well.
Well, it's a real joy. You're exactly right. Calvin Short, I love because when I first came to Nashville, one of the first games I covered was there. They got green and gold. And I came down here from Wisconsin back in the mid-70s. And here it's like the Packers. The colors are there. You know, just a few weeks ago, I don't know, the clear blue, I thought about it. I went and visited Carlton Flat. And, you know, we covered 10 state high school football championships at Brentwood Academy. And to be able to visit with him again, it was one of the greatest joys. We'd land, and coaches were kind enough. We'd come up and chat a little bit. You'll laugh because, you know, with flying with a helicopter, we'd go to one place way far away. And then I would find another place that was halfway back on the way back, and then we had to hustle back to Nashville, and I'd be writing a script with a flashlight in my mouth while we bounced back, coming back on the way back. Well, you know, we fly out all the way out to Paris, Tennessee, and all of a sudden get caught in a thunderstorm, and gosh, I thought we were going to wreck. We had to hover over over a car. It was all around us with storms that we shouldn't have even flown in. And I think we were 500 feet over a car that we flew over until he got to I-24. We found another car coming on 24, hover over that with lightning all around and thunderstorms, and landed the helicopter. And you were working it. And we'd run inside, edit everything. I'm bouncing around writing the script, and all said, "Hey, how you doing? We've been waiting for you all night. Had a great flight tonight." Nobody knows. We about lost our lives up there in the air. So I got a chance to meet a lot of great people. I've coached. Sometimes I'd get to a game and coaches or even officials would come up, "Hey, glad you're here, Rudy." And I'd say, "Listen, I got a little something in my pocket for you if you can let both teams score early so we can get out of here for the next game."
I remember one time I was covering, I was at another TV station. You flew into Harpeth. And the referee, when you guys took off, the referee stopped the game, and they all waved at you—the refs, the players, the crowd—and I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. This is only one person could make this happen, and that was you. And it was just, and I love high school football. Elijah loves it. You love it. And it's just this Friday night thing where, Rudy, I hope we never lose sight. I talked to Mike Keith about high school football, and I said, "What do you love about it?" And he says, "I tell young sportscasters all the time, somehow, some way, stay grounded to high school football. Whether you hold the chain or write an article or do PA, just stay grounded to it." And I was like, that's amazing advice. And I hope we never lose that love for high school football, Rudy.
Boy, that's so well said. I really love that. And, when we first started the high school, the flying concept, the news director said, "Look, I want you to go to about five games." Some games, I said, "Five? How can we do that?" And he said, "Well, hover over one game and just shoot something from the sky and say we were there." I said, "No, we can't do that. We got to make the people feel good." So we would only go to two games because it'd be hard to. But you saw the videos. We always tried to land. We shot as much of the crowd. I'd always find some character, some 85-year-old guy who's been a chain gang member for 50 years. And we'd always look for some little angle so that the community would feel great. Sometimes we'd land at a place and they'd lay out a buffet table. Here we got fudge and coffee, and I got to cover this game. "No, you got to have some of this fudge." I said, "Oh, good Lord!" And but it always made them feel good. It always made them feel like they were special. And you're so right. It's just a joy. But we went up to Clarksville one time to cover it. That was our first stop, and bam, all the lights go out. Some squirrel got electrocuted and knocked all the power lights out. So now it's for an hour. So what do we do? We shot them standing around watching that, flew off to another game. Now you got to make a story out of standing around with no highlights, and a squirrel laying there on the ground. And then you go on to the next game and hope you can get something there.
Oh, that's amazing. Elijah, you got one more for Rudy?
Oh, yeah, just a quick one, because you mentioned, people bringing out the fudge and all the accommodations for you, and that clicked in my mind. I really want to know, because you've probably had some doozies. Best concession stand food, where was it here in the middle of the mid-state?
You know what was great? The people, we'd go to Columbia Academy. They would have a plate ready for us, dinner ready for us. We went to a lot of places where we'd always call ahead of time and have to land in a practice field or some close by. They'd have police. That's, of course, sirens going. We'd come driving in like all of a sudden it's the second coming of something, And they'd have the food and all that stuff. And then when we took off, which I don't know if Joey, we would always buzz the field, barrel down the middle of the field. And pull. We should never have done it. And I got an email from a band director who was mad as could be. We messed up their halftime show. So,
Oh, well, that's what you get. Rudy, thank you for this. We thank the world of you, man, and just the impact you still have on a lot of people today with what you're doing. Thank you as always, and it's always a pleasure, Rudy.
I'm just glad you're doing that, Joe. I know you love sports. People in this community love you. And Elijah, you're great. Thank you for you two guys doing this together, because high school football is the best. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Rudy Kalis from Channel 4, many years. A legend, just so kind and everything. It's an honor. All right, Elijah, we're going to take a quick break. We got Junie Riddle on the other side who's going to cover the big game tonight between Beach and Gallatin. He's the game blitzer. He's the Adam Schefter. We've called him this, right, Elijah? The Adam Schefter of high school football?
An adequate comparison there.
That man's pretty good.
The NFL news. Yeah, you get him. You get NFL news real time from Adam Schefter. You get the best Mid-State high school football news real time from Junie Riddle. That's a good parallel.
All right, that's great. We'll take a break. You're listening to Game Blitz, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. I'm going through about 15 text messages from people commenting and tweets about Rudy Kalis. And Elijah, it's just an honor to walk down that memory lane, because memories are a beautiful thing, and Rudy was a big part of all those.
On my bucket list is to go to Columbia Academy to try out some of that some of that concession stand food. I asked that question very strategically, because if there's anyone in the state that's going to know exactly where to get the best goodies here in the mid-state, it's that man. So he provided it. We asked, he delivered. I mean,
all right.
In all seriousness, though, I mean, there's not a better storyteller in the mid-state than Rudy Kalis. That was really special to get to have him on and to be able to pick his brain a little bit about some of the cool stuff that he's gotten to experience. Because when you're on TV for over 50 years in a certain market, you learn everything about it.
You
and
know.
I knew that he was serious about going everywhere when he mentioned Red Boiling Springs. That's not one you just Google, all right? You got to find Red Boiling Springs. And a lot of it's not from GPS or anything. You'd have to find a compass, you know, to find your way there.
That's great. All right, let's bring in our good friend Junie Riddle. He's the Adam Schefter of high school football in Middle Tennessee. Junie's at the Gallatin and Beach game tonight. Junie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. It took me a little bit to get here. The stadium is not at the high school, but luckily, the good citizens of Gallatin, I had a personal escort of a young man that met me at the high school, and I flagged him down. I was waving him. I was in distress. I was like, there's no way I'm going to find this place. It wasn't popping up on Google Maps, but I got an assist. He let me follow him to the stadium. We are here. And Joe Dubin, let me tell you this. This stadium is everything that you hyped it up to be. The guys up here in the press box are telling me that this stadium was voted the best high school stadium in Tennessee, and I can see why. There's a lot of winning that's gone on here. There's a lot of culture. It reminds me of that old beat-up diner that has the best food, that you just know that you're going to have the best experience.
Yes.
And this place screams high school football.
I love it. All right, you got a big game tonight, and Elijah and I have talked about this game quite a bit. There's a lot online tonight. Beach and Gallatin, winner gets the upper hand in the region. This is why we have Friday Night Lights, Junie.
Oh yeah, I mean, coming to this game, you know, Beach is 6-1, Gallatin sitting at 4-3. You know, Gallatin already has a loss to Henderson in the district, so they're two games back. If they lose tonight, so they know that this is a must-win against Beach. They haven't beaten Beach in the last 10 years. They said this used to be a really big rivalry, but the last decade, Beach has really taken over here, and Gallatin is really going to be looking for a win tonight. They're going to be using a lot of I formation, a lot of Georgia Tech option plays, because they have an absolute stud at running back. His name is Jaheim Merriweather, number 7. I'm talking to the guys up here. They're saying that this kid has offers all over the place. Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and that Alabama and Georgia are inviting this kid to come out to camp. I mean, that is a talent. 4.3 speed, they're saying, and he's going to have a big night if the Gallatin Green Wave is going to want to upset the Beach Buccaneers.
Wow. Yeah, hey, Junie, I'm glad you found the place, because I know you were worried earlier. Because he called me earlier asking where it was. I was like, unfortunately, you've never been there. And I got worried for a second, but I'm glad you're there. But Junie, obviously, I only ask you a lot of atmosphere questions, because you've already been told about the atmosphere at Gallatin, or the stadium, and how good it is and how historic it is. But what are some of the things that you've noticed so far about maybe a layout or its uniqueness that has kind of made it stand apart than some of the other venues you've gotten to go to this year?
Well, there's no track here. It's at the middle school. It's not at the high school itself. So there's no track. So the stands, which one are a lot bigger than most stands in stadiums that I've been. So it's going to hold a large amount of people, and you're right there on the sidelines. I mean, apparently there have been fans that have been coming to these games loyally for the last 30, 40, 50 years. People are describing them as sideline coaches, and they feel that way because of how close they are to the actual sideline. I mean, when Joe told me that I was literally going to be on top of the field, I didn't take him that seriously, but I mean, literally, I am like right on the field.
Love it.
Up here in the press box, and it is lit. I just feel so into the game right now. You know, people are still trying to file in here. It is kind of tough to get into this place because it is a one lane, small little road to get back in here, tucked away. Like, honestly, if I did not have that escort, there is no way I would have found where this place is. Like, absolutely not. It was like a little, it looked like a little driveway. And I pulled in and just opened up, and I was like, oh, here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're here.
Yeah, welcome to Gallatin.
Gallatin's such a lovely small town, guys. I mean, this just screams high school football. I mean, I guarantee you when this team is at its peak, I mean, this town is coming out, parades down Main Street, you know, just those little different boutiques, little shops. It just screams like this is a small, tightly knit community. People, a lot of times people don't leave here, and it has a long standing tradition. And when you just look around here and see is at a stadium like this, that they've kept it here and kept it the same for so long, it just makes that tradition even more special.
I love it. I love that you're up there tonight. You know, you've got to cover some great games. I mean, last week, Nolensville Page, games throughout the season. What's one moment, Junie, that has stood out for you now that we're in week nine? What's one moment of a game that stood out for you that you're not going to forget?
The one moment, I mean, it has to be that Page-Nolensville game. I mean, it was never more than a one-touchdown score. And Nolensville, who hadn't gotten Page's number in the last 5 years, finally gets to beat their district rival. And they're sitting at 8-0, top of 5A. And, I mean, listen, they got a lot of talent on that team. Chance Fitzgerald, the wide receiver there, who has multiple FBS offers, really showed me what he had. I mean, that team had a lot of grit. They were down the entire game, like you've mentioned, like I mentioned when I was there live last week. And it's just like, it just seemed like the offense wasn't going in that first half. And in the second half, when I was like, there's no way, the defense has been dominating this game. You know, Page had this guy working at outside linebacker. His name was Eric Hazard. He had 4 sacks, and I think he had over 10 quarterback pressures in that game. But on that last drive, hitting his number one receiver, Chance Fitzgerald, on multiple third downs, Joe, it just seemed like it was just meant to be Nolensville's night. And like, like everybody's been saying, that was like the game of the year. The fans stormed out on the stadium. It was just a magical moment for that school in that football program.
I love it. Junie, thank you. Elijah and I appreciate your passion, my man. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you whenever there's a scoring update. Thank you.
You got it, guys. I'll speak to you later.
All right, Junie Riddle. Elijah, you know, you talked about just that up there and the atmosphere up there tonight. But, you know, again, we talked earlier about the show, and I know we'll get to the breaker in just a second, but not a lot of games tonight, but some big games in that Beach Gallatin game tonight, as he described and you talked about earlier, just so much on the line tonight.
Oh, so much. And like I mentioned earlier, if Gallatin's able to win this game, that puts them basically with a tie for Beach for first. It'd be one of only 3 teams in Region 5, 6A that have only one region loss, the other of whom is Clarksville, who Gallatin also plays to end the season. I don't think Clarksville has played. They have played Beach, yeah. Beach beat Clarksville 38-7. So if you're talking tiebreakers, Beach has one over Clarksville. If Gallatin wins, they'd also have one loss and then have it over Beach. So if they win tonight, there is a pathway to winning the entire region. Pretty significant. And if Beach is able to win tonight, that puts them one game closer to putting the nail in the Region 5 coffin. So there's a lot at stake in that game.
There it is. I love it. All right, coming up next, one of Elijah and I's best guests. We love Jamal Stewart, head football coach at East. Good man, great program. He'll join us next. He's actually down in Florida at a wedding. So the commitment he makes to our show, Elijah, to step out of a wedding and take our phone call, I love it. I love it, right?
Best of the best. That should tell us exactly the kind of job we're doing. We're going to pat ourselves on the back here and say it's worth stepping out of a wedding for.
Right.
It's either saying it's good for us or the wedding's not much fun itself, but I'd like to think that the former is more true than the latter.
Exactly. All right. East High School head football coach Jamal Stewart joins us next. You listen to the Game Blitz right here, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Let's join now by head football coach at East Nashville Magnet School, Jamal Stewart. Coach, how are you? And again, thank you for doing this.
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you guys for having me on again. I feel like I should be part of the staff now.
The pay, let me tell you what, Coach, the pay is great. You'll love it. All right, you've got a little break now. Your last game was at Maple on October the 6th. You get back to the grind next week. You take on Riverdale. Let's recap your season so far. 8-0. Your defense played fantastic. Your offense moving the ball. What is there not to like about your football team right now? A head coach always finds something not to like, but I don't see anything not to like, Coach.
Man, I think I said it a while back, man. Like, I just don't want to get complacent. You know what I mean? Like, just like over and over, I feel like our guys are – they're working hard, but it's like I said, preparing for some of these games, they're mentally not as focused as they were – Father Ryan, Stewart's Creek, Independence, and things of that nature. You know what I mean? And I just want them to, like, really respect each opponent the same way. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Just because a record of the previous opponent is not as up to par as what you think, that still don't mean take the week off. And, you know, I just really want them to prepare for every game like it's the same, like the same way no matter what.
I love it. And, you know, you come back and you get to go take on Riverdale next week. So it's not like you're coming back and just playing some JV team somewhere. You like these tough matchups.
Oh, yeah, I do. Like I said, it prepares us for the last five games of the year. And that's our goal, to get to those last five. And, like, when you play a team like Riverdale, you know, you gotta bring it. You're going to have to bring it because they're great. They're well coached. I have a group chat with the brothers. We're good friends, and we talk, and we've been laughing and joking all year long with the Kreisky brothers and things of that nature. And like I said, they're going to be well coached. They got some great athletes, and you got to be on your P's and Q's when you come play a team like that, which that only makes us better.
Talking to Coach Jamal Stewart from East Nashville, coach for East Nashville / Game Blitz contributor. He's a man of many titles right now, and Coach. You know, we're talking about the Riverdale game, another big out-of-region game, outside your class, three levels outside your classification, you know, scheduling up. You've done that a lot this year because, you know, I know you want to prepare for the playoffs, but you're also dominating these teams that are outside of your classification. Green Hills, two classifications up. You hung 53 on them. Jackson County, Independence, three classifications up. You beat them by a couple of scores. Hillsboro's two classifications up, beat them 14-0. Father Ryan is Father Ryan, a really good program, and you guys handled them pretty well at the beginning of the year. But what does that say about your team that not only are you scheduling these games to get better and kind of see where your team's at, but seeing them exceed those expectations and perform against those really high-level opponents?
We just tell them on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning we want to wake up with a happy feeling. So we don't care who it's against. Mm-hmm. Every morning we wake up, we want to be happy, you know, so that means we did what we're supposed to do. And I give them, either way it goes, win or lose, I tell them we got 24 hours to get through it, get over it, or get through it. Either way it goes, we got 24 hours to focus on the next opponent. So, but it's just really good for our program. Our kids stepped up, and they're excited. And like I said, the different communities, the different environments, the different locations, it's big for our kids. Sometimes some of these kids haven't been to these part of town. You know, we go out there and play a football game, the crowds get into it, and our kids feed off of it. They love it. Like, Independence homecoming was amazing. So they were, like, live. They were talking to our kids. And you've seen a lot of our kids, they had, like, they, like, deer in the headlights. Because they were like, man, I've never seen nothing like this. Granted, our schedule, we've had seven home games this year. So
wow.
That was something to them, too. Because of how the previous season was with COVID and things of that nature, a couple games had to get back to our home game this year. But so that was our first away game that was, you know, like eye-opening for some of these kids. So it's good for our program. It's good for our community. Just experience group teams like that going there or coming to us.
And, Coach, over the last couple of years since you've been here, you know, the program's gone a long way, too. I remember talking to you after a Fairview loss in the playoffs a couple of years ago when I was writing for Main Street Preps, and looking at your program then and then looking at it now, it's a night and day difference, and you guys are in the premier teams in 3A. So when you're talking about coaching at this level and building a program for sustained excellence, what's kind of the one underrated part that maybe a lot of coaches don't address like others should?
don't get on me for this, but we actually beat Fairview my first year in the playoffs.
Okay, you beat them. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, that's a 2 years ago for me. A lot of sleep since then. So.
Listen, I know what it takes to do your job, so I know you're – so, but, yeah, so it's just – man, it's just – it's a lot, man. Like I said, it's more than football. It's family and faith and everything that you might – you put that together, and you just happy to be with these guys. I will have another saying, I just want to be able to see you on Monday. And that was our saying last year on during the playoffs. As long as I get to see you on Monday, we did what we were supposed to do on Friday. And we just, like I said, it's a family, man. It's more than, it's not football. Like, some of you, we talk to these kids about all kinds of things other than football. And so when you get on the football field, whatever you ask these kids to do, they do it. They're just happy to do it. They understand you're not going to ever steer them in the wrong direction. And we want them to win the coaching. If they know you love them and care about them, they'll do whatever you ask them to. So they want this season to last as long as they can. 15 games, that's our goal. Everything we do is 15. Now, I've said it before, 15 stretches, 15 reps, 15 conditioning exercise, whatever case it is, it's 15 because that's our goal. And these kids just want to keep fighting and playing football. No matter who it is, no matter what it is, it's just developing relationships and letting them know you care about them, and they're going to run through a brick wall for you.
Absolutely. We're talking to Coach Jamal Stewart at East Nashville with us right now on the Game Blitz. Coach, here's a weird question. And I know your last game was October the 6th. You're on fall break and all that. I know you're down in Florida at a wedding and everything. But do you miss it? I mean, do you miss the kids? Do you miss the practice? Do you miss the games? Is it tough to get away?
So the biggest thing about the head coach or being a coach in general is making time for your own family. You know what I mean? And it's very strenuous on your wife or your kids or anybody. So, I try to make time for my personal family. And I haven't watched any film on Riverdale or anything like that. But our kids are still working. They worked out every day this week. They worked out every day this week. They're probably going to the Riverdale and Oakland game today. I'm 100% sure 20 of my kids are going. They're in the group chat asking questions. They're looking it up on NFHS. Riverdale games. I mean, they're hungry, man. They're just excited. But, like, once you instill what the expectations in them, you know what I mean?
So sure.
That's what they feed off of. Now, I've seen Riverdale film, but, like, over these last two or three days preparing for my brother's wedding and a little vacation with my family, I haven't watched in the last 3 days or so. But I do miss it, but I really am enjoying time with my girls and my family and my woman and things of that nature. It's been a blast because I have not been able to do that with everyone ever, actually. So 2 years. So it's been like 2 or 3 years I've not been able to do this as a head coach. So I'm enjoying this, but, yeah, I do miss the football grind. I'm excited to get back to that, but I'd rather handle this right now.
A much-enjoyed vacation, deserved vacation for Coach Jamal Stewart. And, Coach, last one for me, too. Obviously, we talked about the game you have against Riverdale, but the season finale is going to be for the region title, as well as your team's done. Smith County's having a really good season, too. They're sitting at 6-1 overall, 2-0 in the region. More than likely, they're going to be going in because they're playing Jackson County tonight. So, more than likely, they're going to be coming into that game undefeated in the region as well for all the marbles. But what does Smith County do so well that that you think might give your team some trouble in that game?
Man, that once again, that is a great coach team. They have some great kids. They are huge. I thought we had a big team. They are huge. Their quarterback is huge. I'm not going to lie to you. I've definitely seen some Smith County film already. So I'm just saying. So we got to focus up on that one, too. But I've seen that already. But like I said, they're well coached. Coach Dyer is a great guy. Like I said, we talk about everything. We even exchange fundraiser ideas and things of that nature. He's a great guy. And they're going to be well coached. They're going to be strong. They're going to run the ball well. It's kind of similar to our identity. Well, we probably open it up a little bit more this year throwing the ball, but they're going to run it. They're going to get in different formations. And they got four or five different guys that can run the ball at any time. They're in gun, wing, tee. So they have some misdirection. And like I said, they have a freshman quarterback that's 6'4". 220 pounds, and he's a ball player. So, he's a ball player. He can throw it as well. But like I said, sometimes when the game gets tough, they put the ball in his hands, and he finds a way to win for them. So, like I said, one game at a time, we'll get to that Smith County. It's circled on our calendar. I can tell you that. But we got to play Riverdale first. I tell them don't jump ahead, so neither will I.
There you go, Coach. Before we let you go, who got married down in Florida?
My brother, my younger brother, man, he did it.
He did it.
Big congrats.
Well done. That's great. Were you the best man?
Of course.
Yeah, another congrats.
Oh, that's great. Coach, thank you for taking time out for us. You know, we think the world of you. Great job, and we hope we see you in Chattanooga again, Coach. And thanks for everything.
Hey, I appreciate you guys always, man. You guys have a great night.
All right, Coach Jamal Stewart, head football coach at East High School. And Elijah, we've talked to him, you know, before the season started. We talked to him after that game against Ryan and everything. And just his approach, his message, his love for the kids, that's why we love high school football, man.
It is. And as good as a program builder as there is in the state, I mean, they've gotten better each year. Like, that's the thing. He's been there for, this is his third year, and they've just gotten better each year. They get deeper in the playoffs each year. And this is a team that gave Alcoa like three really good quarters in the state championship game last year. It feels like they're better this year.
Oh,
I agree. Better this year, then watch out. I mean, this is a team that I think can definitely seal the deal.
3, 4, 5 of their 8 wins, they've held the opponent under 10 points. So,
that's,
I mean,
remarkable.
They're getting it done right there.
Remarkable.
All right, we got 5 more hours coming straight ahead. The kickoff at 7. Some games kick off at 7:30. We come back, we're going to run down some of the big games tonight that's happening. We've got more coaches that are going to join us throughout the show. It's going to be a fun night with Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass. You're listening to The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.